or search our entire collection at pacificaradioarchives.org. I've been your host, Mark Torres. Thanks for keeping our history alive.
And this is Community Radio KGNU, Denver, Boulder, Nederland. Up next, Cabaret. Just want to let you know, fog is expected tomorrow morning. Should be nice the rest of the week, other than that.
All right. Thank you. My name's Andy. Welcome to Cabaret, our live in-studio performance conversation hour here at KGNU. Tonight we have Gasoline Lollipops, and we're going to just get started. We're going to, Clay, will you just introduce the band? Nobody's mic'd tonight, so you have to talk for everybody.
Yeah, sure. From my left, we have you, Andy.
Yes, we do.
Guest appearance, MC.
I'm going to play the saw.
Next to you, we got Adam Perry on the drums. We got Bad Brad Morse on the bass. We got Jeb Bowes on the fiddle. And Don Ambury on the Telecaster.
All right. And we're all looking at each other, so it's kind of, we're playing in a circle here to give you guys an idea. So let's just get started. I want to ask, how do you come up with, not the name necessarily, but just the idea, and you know, let's start at the beginning of the Gasoline Lollipops.
Well, the beginning never ended. You know, I think we're still at the beginning. We're at a perpetual beginning. And what makes the Gasoline Lollipops is what every person in the room brings to the sound, and that it's an open door policy here. As long as the style of music you play is good, then you're welcome in this band, you know. And I think we all come from very different musical backgrounds. I think our record collections vary quite a bit, but when we bring our influences all into the same room and throw all those sounds in the same pot, you get Gasoline Lollipops, something sweet and explosive.
Awesome. And you and Donnie are the original, were you?
No, it's me and Jeb.
Jeb. Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. Cool. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that. See?
Yeah, we're the old timers.
And, but you write most of the music and the lyrics, right? Yeah. And then is it collaborative after that?
After that, I don't say anything. Yeah, we just get together. Whatever people want to play, that's what they play. I mean, like, the most I'll say, you know, direction-wise is play less on this verse or play more on this solo, but that's it. I don't write people's parts. I don't tell them what to play.
Fair enough. All right, so what's the first song you're going to play?
It's called Homesick Remedy.
All right, let's hear it.
One, two, three, four. Living highways, churches, jails, and bars. Oh, but they've rounded me well. They show me heaven and hell, but the God of which they tell was in neither cloud nor flame. So I made up a God inside my head. Pretty soon it felt like it made me up instead. I hung his picture on the wall. One day there's nothing there at all, just shadows of rainfall in an empty frame. Well, I had home on my mind, I guess just takes some time to realize I went blind. To see that home that I seek, and in the light of my cheeks, and I smile every time I pass another mileage sign. Say that's that home of mine. My shoes in a poker game to a pretty dame who traded me the blues. I took them with me all the way to that blue man's in the old bay. It was there they stayed.
we're burning in the fire. When you got home on your mind, I guess it just takes some time to realize where you went blind. To see that home that you seek, so every line of your cheeks are gone and smile every time you pass another mileage sign. Say that's that home of mine. Now the road seems to shift and swerve every time I think I finally get what I deserve. Some say you are what you earn. I say you're nothing if you ain't learned that who you are can never be for hire. Yeah, we got home on our minds, I guess it just took some time to realize where we went blind. To see that home that we seek, and every line of our cheeks, and now we smile every time we pass another mileage sign. Say that's at home of mine.
Do hard times. Here's one that my mama wrote.
Bare feet on the hardwood floor, eyes on the window, went through the door. She got up before the sun today. With black hair flowing down the back, train was blowing from a track. It leads her mind away. And she thinks about the times when the dreams filled her mind. Now the dreams are filling up her heart, but it comes to her somehow. She don't need diamonds now in the hard times. She's found love. Springs pushing to his feet, smells from the kitchen, it's time to eat. He remembers the night as the day begins. Well, he slips upon her like a playful child. She turns around, they both smile. The train whistle blows again. And he thinks about the times when the dreams fill his mind. Now the dreams are filling up his heart, and it comes to him somehow. He don't need diamonds now in the hard times. Come on! Singing, hungry wolves, stay away from our door. We're not afraid of the hard times anymore. No, yeah, no matter what's going down, we got plenty to go around. Love's the only thing we're banking on. Through all the struggling years we've known, somehow the feelings of love have grown. Hearts were never overgrown. They're singing, hungry wolves, stay away from our door. We're not afraid of the hard times anymore. Oh, it don't matter what's going down, we got plenty to go around. In the hard times, we found love. Yes, in the hard times, we found love. Yes, in the hard times, we found love.
We have Gasoline Lollipops here in the studio at Cabaret, and I wanted to there's a lot of ways we can go before we get into the meat of the interview, but I wanted to ask you about dates, future dates coming up.
Ah, yes.
You know, promote.
We would love to talk about future dates. The most important and looming of which is September 23rd, coming up in a couple weeks at the Caribou Room up in Nederland, which is a new venue if you hadn't heard of it. And it's supposedly, I've yet to see it, but supposedly it's a really great theater with a state-of-the-art sound system, and it holds like 500 people. So it should be a good time, because those mountain folks are our family. And we're looking forward to finally playing a room that can fit them all in one room.
That'll be good, because I tried to get into one of those Gold Hill shows, and I was looking through the window.
Yeah.
But in any case, and you guys have a new album that you're working on.
Yes, we are. It's called Resurrection, and that's mainly what we're previewing here today, our tracks off of that. And we hope to be releasing that Valentine's Day.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a theme. I mean, you have a definite theme to the first two albums and the third album. Can you talk a little bit about that process, or what your overall thoughts are on it?
Yeah. I mean, at first, I don't know. I guess it started out kind of as a cheap gimmick, you know, Dawn, Death, and Resurrection, and to release three EPs and under those themes. With seven songs on each one, because I'm super superstitious and a gambling man. But you got to be careful. Like people say, you got to be careful what you pray for, and you got to be careful what kind of concept album you work on, because my life has followed that arc of Dawn, Death, and Resurrection. Now, I'm really glad I thought to put the third one on there, or else I'd be screwed. Because, Dawn was sort of like the band in this incarnation and in this sound coming together, and there was a lot of hope and a lot of energy behind it. And Death, for me personally, I sort of hit a tripping block there in my life's path, and kind of fell to my knees for a little while. But thank God I had that record to work on too. It was very therapeutic and got me through the darkness. And now I've got my proverbial poop together. You can say that.
You can say that.
That's FCC approved. Got my proverbial poop together, and now there's a whole new shot of life in the band and in my own personal life. And so it's just very fitting that we'd be working on a record called Resurrection and trying to put together some fairly hopeful songs for it. But there's also still the shadow of the last album and what I just came out of. That'll be casting a shadow over the beginning of this record, I think. But we'll end it on a good note.
Do you find it easier to be more creative when you were from your darker place, or has it been a nice surprise as you've come out of that to still have that creative edge and feeling?
You know, I think that going through the darkness definitely gives you a lot of material. It's kind of hard to keep your stuff together enough to like write a song. Like you get a lot of inspiration, and I have a lot of cocktail napkins laying around the house with like half a verse written on each one. And now that I'm sober enough to grab them all together and tape them on the wall, I can make some songs out of them, you know. But the darkness is like breaking glass, and the light is making a mosaic, I suppose.
Putting it all to the pieces together.
Yeah.
Do you write mostly in your home, or do you have a place that you go
in? In the car.
In the car?
That's where I write. Probably 90% of my songs is driving.
Yeah, what kind of car?
Well, I'll take a fifth on that.
Okay. You know, it's
not too romantic, you know?
You can make something up.
Yeah. It's an old circus wagon that there I put go. A lawnmower engine in the back of. And I got a couple ponies hitched to the front. Yeah.
Perfect.
So that way they steer while I write.
It's perfect. Good That's a good one. Yeah. You should hold on to that story. So speaking of creating stories and that whole feeling, who are your influences? Where do you kind of get your inspiration from, or growing up, you know, what was your
besides
learning?
Being just crushed by life.
Yeah.
Besides that, which is definitely my number one influence. like my old man, growing up on the road, you know, he was a truck driver, and he turned me on to a lot of music while we'd be going long distances. A lot. He had like 24 cassettes that were just on constant rotation. But I got to know those 24 albums really well, and they're all really good records.
Which ones? Just a couple.
A couple, like Bruce Springsteen, Nebraska, and Love Forever Changes. You know that record? It's like a psychedelic rock thing. And Emmylou Harris. And I mean, he was all over the map, but...
That's funny. I would have totally expected like old, you know, old Bakersfield sound stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, not so much. He didn't like that. He's a hippie, you know? And he drew a very definite line between hippie and redneck. But then again, he like turned me on to Steve Young and, you know, Townes Van Zandt. I guess that's like, that's his.
Yeah. I mean, cause you definitely, you know, the music's very different and you have your own style. I'm not saying that you're taking, but there's definitely a connection between, you know, from Townes Van Zandt to Leonard Cohen to Tom Waits to, you know, to some of the other alternative sort of sounding people.
Yeah, my uncle turned me on to Tom Waits when I was like 10 years old, and he's a very eclectic dude. He plays music, he's an artist, but I was a little bit young for that. Well, at least the record he gave me Bone Machine. That's like, here's Tom Waits. Like, I'm like, wow, that's not music. And so then I think like 2 years later, he's like, how'd you dig that Tom Waits? I'm like, not at all. He's like, oh yeah, maybe I started you at the end here. And then he gave me Nighthawks at the Diner. And I was like, oh yeah, this is awesome. And then I worked my way into the weirder stuff.
I want to, before we play the next tunes, I want to ask you about the Bullet, Mike.
Yeah, the Bullet.
Yeah, what gave you that idea? What was the story behind it? How do you use it?
I think, you know, this came from, actually, it was back in the day, Gregory Alan Isikoff, we were hanging out and writing songs together, and we were talking about how, you know, how it'd be very useful to be able to have multiple personalities on stage, you know, because we write in so many different feelings and sometimes two feelings in one song, you know. And he said, oh well, I heard about this harmonica microphone, you know, that makes it sound like a telephone. I'm like, oh, that's perfect, that's exactly what I'm looking for, you know. And so he went and did some research and came back and told me, he's like, yeah, it's a Green Bullet, it's $100. So I was like, sweet. I ran out and bought one. And
Because in the I know, like, you know, people have used megaphones on stage and stuff to change.
Yeah, it's a little
characters.
Cumbersome. Yeah. I've used megaphones too, but they don't have a mic stand really, and you got to duct tape it on there, and sometimes it slips and falls over, and there's casualties involved.
Well, the Bullet works safer. Really
I still
well.
Got to duct tape it, but I heard that somebody invented a Green Bullet mic stand clip, but I've yet to find it.
Yeah, duct tape's good.
Yeah, if you can't duct it, you know what to do with it.
I can't say that on the air.
No, I can't.
I almost did. All right, what's the next song you're going to play?
Let's do Mary Rose, because we've yet to introduce this Green Bullet sound to the audience.
You're listening to the Gasoline Lollipops here at KGNU.
Crack as the sky turned black and it slid on down her throat. Fifth moon did rise to say goodbye. Go through, we'll deliver the goat. And as her body sank on that muddy bank, a smile rose through her cheek. But a tear did slide from the corner of her eye. The world watching this feeling. Summer ends and the roses wilt in turn. Yeah, the more you gave, the more it took, and it just ain't fair, I know. Hey, but at least before you went to sleep, you brought a dream right into this world. Yeah, oh, Mary Rose, Mary Rose.
Going home to Georgia in the key of C.
Going home to the good beach. I never gonna know where that fine looking woman is.
horse are fit to bless with 15 kids, a dog, an acre, and a wife. And those on that metal spot, I thank him every night for the joy that he's brought into my life. Well, I just watch that only smile with every passing mile, the one that makes me feel reborn. Well, I got one eye on the load and another on the road, one in the sky to move me home. That's right, I'm going home to Georgia. I'm going home to pick up beans. I never gone alone. Well, I find a good woman ain't within my reach. Come on, y'all.
You're listening to the Gasoline Lollipops here on Cabaret on KGNU. My name is Andy. I'm your host. And so you guys are playing September 23rd, right? Is that it?
September 23rd
Caribou. At Caribou Room up in Ned. And what's a Gasoline Lollipops concert like?
It's pretty ruckus. Yeah, we've been known to break floors, as Brian Finn, the owner of the Gold Hill Inn, can attest to. So yeah, people get rowdy, but in a very peaceful and happy way. That's the coolest thing about it. It's my therapy, really, is to look out at a crowd of smiling, beaming people jumping for joy, literally jumping for joy.
Yeah, it's a hoedown, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're jumping for joy listening to fairly dark lyrics.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's listening to the lyrics. I mean, then they get the record home and they put it on. They're like, oh my God, somebody kill me. Yeah. But
Let's talk a little bit about that imagery. When did you start writing?
I started writing when I was 12 years old. I found a blank cassette tape at the bottom of my mom's closet, and I put it on. I asked her who it was. She had no idea who it was. Years later, I realized that on one side of the tape, it was Leonard Cohen's first album, Songs, and on the other side, the B-side, was Tim Buckley's Goodbye and Hello. And so those were the first two records in my record collection, because it was before I ever bought tapes. But I listened to this. I mean, I wore it out, you know? And I've always been an insomniac, even when I was 12 years old, kind of not scared of the dark, but scared of sleep, you know, scared of oblivion. And these songs in particular seemed to be all about oblivion, so I was very interested in it. And I listened to it intently, and I started writing poetry right at that same time. I didn't start putting poetry to music till I was 15, though, so like 3 years later.
Because your mom's a songwriter, right?
Yeah.
So yep. How did she influence you at that age? Was she supportive? And
yeah, she was totally supportive. She didn't play an instrument, though. She just wrote lyrics, and she would sing melodies. She always had a co-writer that she would get together with that would play. They would write the music, and she'd write the lyrics.
Yeah. So the darkness that comes from, you know, I guess feeling, if you're 12 years old and feeling like there's oblivion out there, that's a fairly dark concept for
that's a
kid.
Dark concept, but to hear Leonard Cohen is so comforting, you know, to know that there's somebody else out there that feels this and that survived through it for this long, you know? Like, I knew it was an old tape. I didn't know who it was, but I knew it was put out before I was born. And so that gave me comfort that there's people in the world that feel this as well and that are going through it and exercising the demons, so to speak, through music. So kind of gave me an out.
So it's sort of a comfort. I mean, writing it out kind of
definitely
saved you.
And, you know, a lot of people, like, I try to talk about Leonard Cohen with, and they're like, oh, I can't listen to him. He's so depressing, you know? And for me, it's so comforting to hear. So I think that there might, you know, there's more depressive types and less depressive types. And for the depressive types, that's not depressing at all.
No, it's uplifting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I've had people at shows say similar things about my music, which is always surprising to me, because for my music, it is really just exercising the demons a lot of the time. And I forget.
Well, there's a whole group of people that just feel disaffected, you know, and when you hear things like your music and Leonard Cohen and others, Vic Chestnut was somebody else I was going to mention before, you feel, it's like, oh my God, there's other people, like you said, there's other people like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like creating, you know, a community.
Yeah.
Yeah. Changing subjects now for a second. For a while, you had two bands at the same time.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that. What was that like in that space? I know it was a crazy time, right?
Yeah, it was a crazy time.
To say the least.
Yeah, talk about exercising demons. Yeah. The Widow's Bane was, it was a way for me to, how do I put it? Be dead without dying, right? Like, it's kind of like as dark as it can get. I played this gentleman who's been risen from the dead. But the thing about him was that he's extremely comical. You know, he was as much a clown as he was angry and bitter and depressed. And so it really helped shine a light of humor on some serious things that I was going through at the time. And it helped me survive. Like, music has saved my life time and time again, starting with that Leonard Cohen tape. And
so where do you think like I said before, we touched on it, but what, you know, how did you, how were you self-aware at 12 years old that there was like this oblivion out there? What was, you know, is there something going on or just?
I don't know. I mean, from the time I was 7, I really remember it, of like this idea that I don't remember 8 hours of my life. Where am I? Right? There is no life if there's not a sense. If you can't remember it and you never sensed it, then you're literally, I mean, this is how I felt at 7 years old, that I was dying for 8 hours only to hopefully come back to life, you know? But then I would hear about people dying in their sleep, and I'm like, oh man, this is touch and go, you know? You're unplugging the engine and hoping that somebody plugs it back in come sunrise.
It's sort of like that, I don't know that prayer, but if I die before I wake or something.
Oh yeah, I like the Metallica version of that.
Yeah. You know, I've been ignoring the rest of the band, and they're not mic'd, so they can't really... Is there anything you guys want to add? Like, what's it like collaborating and you know? Well, no? All right, fine. Yeah,
can they hear us in the room?
Yeah, shout.
Shout it. Coming from a background of a lot of instrumental music and, like, funk and rock and stuff like that, okay.
Come over here. Okay. Come over here.
Fine. I'll come over there.
We're putting the bass down.
The bass down.
And coming over. Oh, all right.
Sweet. All right. That's a 58. All right. So coming from a background of music that was instrumental music, because I was an instrumentalist, of course, really inspired me when I was younger. So I gravitated towards jazz and like funk and other things like that. So when I joined the Gas Pops, I was like introduced to like all of this new music that I'd like maybe heard my parents playing every once in a while, but like it really changed my entire like perspective on what is like good music. You know, it's like not necessarily instrumentally, it doesn't have to be perfect, but if it, like, there's an emotion, if there's a feeling behind it, then it's in a lot of ways superior. You know, it's like that's we were as instrumentalists, we're supporting the song. So the question in collaborating with the songwriter, like Clay, it's great because, I mean, I'm able to latch onto certain ideas behind the song and, you know, express that in an instrumental fashion, like whether it's, you know, dynamically or note duration or feel or whatever. You know, it's like there's a whole list of things, but it's really cool being a part of a group that's, you know, writing lyrics and, like, getting behind that, getting behind this, learning some of the actual like stories behind these songs. It's tragic, but it's also, it's like, you know, like Clay was saying, it's uplifting in some ways to, you know, to like to hear about these, all these different parts of life. But yeah, so that's what it's kind of
cool.
Like.
It's definitely emotional.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very much so, to put it in one word.
Yes.
Yeah.
When is the new album coming out?
It's coming out Valentine's Day.
Right, right.
Yeah, was, so we hope. Yeah.
Best laid plans.
Yeah, exactly.
And then September 23rd, anything after that? I know the Caribou is a big, big show for you guys.
Yeah.
Is there anything coming up after that?
Yeah, we got November 10th, is that correct, at the High Dive in Denver. And we're headlining there with, who's on that bill?
Anthony
Ruptag.
He's good. I've heard
and Poets Row.
And Poets Row.
And we're also playing at Swing Station.
Swing Station in Fort Collins, October
14th.
We're playing at Oscar's Long Lot in a few days.
Yeah, and we're out there in a few days.
There you go. So you guys are playing. I mean, you guys are definitely busy. And you've sort of conquered the Front Range. So,
yeah.
Right? You've conquered the Front Range.
Yeah.
What's next?
Yeah, what is next? That's a good question. Well, we're hoping to tour this record in the spring. We've been on a circuit a couple times down through Austin and up through Arkansas. I hope to hit that again. And then we hope to just start branching out like in a ripple effect, you know, slowly but surely, like do the mountain towns, all the ski towns, start hitting Wyoming, start hitting New Mexico, and just sort of ripple out that way. I'm not the kind that gets into a hot bath all at once, you know. I gotta ease myself into it.
Yeah. It's a touring's a commitment for sure.
Yeah. It's a hot bath.
Yes. Definitely. All right. Time for more music. I've talked enough.
All right. Good place to hide.
Inside me, I'm lost in its rain, but there's no angel to hide me from what it will bring. Just more of the same old story, old game, old lie, but it's a good place to hide. So just climb inside, 'cause it's a good place to hide. Hearts made of glass. This moment is precious, but it's chained to the past. And even though I try, I can't let go. So I just hold on and dream of tomorrow. But it just brings more the same old story, old game, old lie. But it's a good place to hide. It's a good place to hide. Oh, oh. Lost my wife, hurt my kid, but today I'm gonna pay for the things I did. I don't shake this off, I'm dead. Same old ghost, new town, same old
joke, old clown.
If I could, I'd burn this down.
There's no fire in the world but one inside. Don't see so deep like the one I've cried.
Quench my thirst, God knows I've tried. So it goes, and now I know that there's no place to hide. So it goes, and I know that there's no place to hide. Yeah, so it goes, and I know
that there's no place to hide.
All right, this one's about some of my favorite things, some of my favorite people. Elvis and Jesus and Kurt Cobain. It's all about my favorite holiday too, Easter.
Ain't dead, he's asleep home in bed. Elvis is cooking him eggs. Well, Hendrix and Joplin went out to go shopping. They'll be home before noon with the gigs. Yes, and all of God's children are out busy building an ark for to sail on the flood. But them wafers ain't meat, no, they're just made of wheat. No one ever got drunk off of blood. Yeah, so pass that wine around, my friends. Redemption will just have to wait. We'll be drunk by the time this world comes to an end. And I see you at the old pearly gates. Snorting cocaine with Jim Morrison at the bar. Their supper's getting cold, and Elvis said, I done told him. Jesus said, this time they've gone too far. Yes, and all of God's legends are out busy pledging their souls to the path of the past. But Jimmy and Jim Curtin, Janis Joplin, all laugh loud, but the kings both laugh last. And they sing past that wine around, my friends. Redemption will just have to wait. We'll be drunk by the time this world comes to an end. And I see you at the old pearly gate. Well, Jesus ain't dead, he's asleep home in bed. And Elvis is cooking him eggs.
Listening to the Gasoline Lollipops here on Cabaret on KGNU. My name's Andy. I'm your host tonight. And that was a happy song.
Yeah, it's one of the few happy songs I wrote, you know. Yeah.
And all these songs are on the new album that you played so far?
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah. But there's seven. So you're going to start doing older stuff.
Well, there's seven and then some bonus tracks.
Ah, because
we figured, yeah, people have waited so long for Resurrection. They deserve an extra dose of it. At least that's how I feel, you know.
Always, yeah. more. Yeah. What are your nightmares about now?
What are my nightmares about? They're like totally mundane. They're like, I have nightmares about having a 9-to-5 job when I'm like a data entry. I have those nightmares a lot. And I'm just like trying to get like my whiteout is all kind of dried up and gummy, you know. And I got the wrong number in there, and I can't figure out Excel spreadsheets, and it's terrible.
Sitting at a metal desk.
Yeah.
File cabinet.
Under the fluorescent lights. Yeah.
How long have you been in Boulder?
Oh, on and off my whole life. I was just born down the road. And I left home when I was, I mean, other than like traveling all the time with my dad, I left Boulder when I was 13 and came back when I was 22. I was living in Nashville for most of that time, in Austin for a little while, LA for a year, and then came back 22, and I've been here since.
Yeah. So we were talking about Green Day beforehand. And I know Adam played, you played in punk bands, right? A lot, yeah. And I think you were part of the scene in LA, right?
Oh, not so much. No. I mean, well, kind of. I was on the fringe. I was like, you know, I was playing my own brand of punk rock. I was a solo. I was playing a guitar just like this, but I was playing punk rock songs on it. And I had a big Liberty Spike mohawk.
We need pictures of that.
I wore my plaid pants and my combat boots and all, yeah.
Yeah, and how do you bring that sort of ethos into the Gas Pops now?
I don't think it ever left. You know, I think the Gas Pops is sort of built around that ethos, and people came into the band with whatever influence they had and added to that. But I feel like that's sort of been the core. I mean, I've definitely softened up over the years, you know, like I'm more apt to cry now, you know, whereas before I just break something. So now that I'm able to cry, I'm able to write a song that's, you know, about crying.
That's a change.
Yeah, it is a change.
Yeah. Donnie, I wanted to ask you, when did you start playing? You got to come over to the mic, though.
Okay.
Because you're doing some great.
There you go, Donnie.
You don't have to come to the mic anymore. The mic's coming to you.
It's like the Donahue Show.
Yes.
How old I am. I didn't even say Oprah.
So how did you start playing? When did you start playing guitar? And
real young, 9, you know? Yeah. I actually started at 7, but the woman wouldn't take, it was like hippie era still, sort of, and the woman wouldn't take any money. She used to make me clean up after her even littler kids, so that lasted about 2 weeks. she was teaching me, like, Michael Rowe, The Boat Ashore and stuff, too. So, but a couple of years later, I found somebody that would teach me, like, Kiss songs and stuff.
Well, this is a far, far, far cry from Kiss. I mean, that's the style of guitar you're playing is really stylized.
Yeah, I find myself saying this a lot because I guess it's just the story of my entree into country music. But I've even said it on the show before, but so long ago you probably
didn't. I wasn't here.
With a different band and everything. I kind of grew up hating country music because I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and country music was awful in that time period. Statler Brothers and Kenny Rogers and stuff. So it was not until the very late 80s when Steve Earle and Dwight Yoakam started happening and the Replacements were covering Hank tunes and then Uncle Tupelo and stuff like that, because I went to school for jazz as well, I should say. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like I was a street urchin playing nothing but hardcore, but I played in punk bands and stuff. I'm not some losing cracker playing all this. No, but I played in punk bands and rock bands and different things as well. And after I went to school for music, I went to Chicago, and I've lived there a couple times for about 10 years total. And Chicago's an interesting place. It taught me a lot about oldies and Beatle music. And, you know, it's a very rootsy place. And so that kind of became more and more. There's a place called the Clearwater in Chicago that was sort of a intersection of hip and country music way back. You know what I mean? Chunk of Coal, I'm just having a brain fart. What's his name? Who wrote Chunk of Coal?
I have no idea.
Nobody.
No idea.
Lord.
I don't think anyone listening.
Fast Train to Georgia. Yeah. I'm on a Fast Train to Georgia. Come on. Nobody. Oh my
Sorry.
God. Anyway, I saw him. He was great and changed my life. We don't know who he is. There you go.
But he was awesome.
Right.
Well, why don't we just switch the jab?
Yeah, there you go.
And how do you get started, and how do you guys meet?
Well, I got started pretty young. My parents took me to a music shop when I was about 4 years old and said, pick the instrument. And I pointed at the violin and then you know, found an amazing teacher. And this was in Longmont. Ellie Albers was her name. And she was amazing and did the classical thing, but also, you know, grew up going to the Telluride Bluegrass Fest and doing the Folk Fest thing. And just all over the place, everything, all the styles.
And you're from here then?
I'm from Ward.
Wow.
Yep. So
Yep. You may be the Native. First person I met from that actually was born in war.
Not too many of us.
Yeah.
Born in war.
Born in
yeah,
war.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Proud to say. Yeah, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, and then I traveled. I went west when I was, you know, late teens and was out there for years and missed the mountains, so came back. And
the call of the mountains.
Up in the hills, yeah. Yeah. Clean water and clean air. You can't really beat it around here.
That is true. That is true. All right, let's go to Adam for some words of wisdom from the drummer. Well, usually we don't let the drummer talk. So. Oh, he doesn't even want to talk. All right, fine.
I say too much.
You should ask Jeb about his gig night before last.
Oh.
Yeah.
Jeb, where'd you play
night before last, Jeb?
Oh, a little local area called Red Rocks. Yeah, yeah. No, our good buddy, Gregory Allen Isakoff. I played with him for almost as long as I played with Clay here, and about the exactly same time. We're all good buds, and so yeah, we headlined Red Rocks a couple nights ago, and amazing.
That's pretty cool. My friends drove from Dallas, went to the concert, and then drove back. And they only got one speeding ticket, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, it was a great crowd. And, yeah, we had an awesome show. So
Very good.
Thanks to everybody that came out.
Cool. All right, we're going to play two more songs. I think we're going to wrap it up. Is there any last words from anybody?
Gasoline Lollipops, love you.
There you go. September 23rd at the Caribou Room. New album, Valentine's Day, and the website. We didn't even mention the website yet. GasolineLollipops.com.
Yeah, we have a website.
Right?
You can get a G-string with our logo on it on our website. It's true.
Oh, there you go.
It's true.
Records and G-strings. Oh, all right. Do two and break in the middle. We'll say goodbye.
All right, cool.
Send me packing down that Green River Valley. I knew that if you couldn't, no one would have me. I lost myself drinking with those stray dogs in the alleys. To whiskey sold my bones. Well, at night it came on cold, blowing off that muddy river. I felt so damned old, I didn't have the strength to shiver. The moon was swallowed whole, and when the sky spit back that sliver, I knew I had to go alone. But love is free, so take all you can. Just don't ask me to be the bigger man. Yeah, 'cause I'm all spent where you took all I had. But living the good life, brother, made me bad. We're gonna chase that girl, gonna get that money, gonna break the world. I know you think it's full of honey. Maybe someday I'll look back and think it's funny how you always had to put me down. Right now in the ashes, choking on the smoke, I find it hard to grasp this great big cosmic joke. I'm squinting through the tears and years of lies and hope. I know you ain't coming back around. Love is free, so take all you can. And I won't ask you to be the bigger man. Yeah, 'cause you're all spent where you gave all you had. But living a good life, brother, on devil below and God above. Take all your armies from my blood and show me what I'm really made of.
more than love. Oh, and set me free. I've done all I can. Just don't ask me to be the bigger man. Yeah, 'cause we're all spent where we gave all we could. But living the bad life, brother, feels too good.
All right, you've been listening to Cabaret. You're going to play one more song. You're going to play us out. But I just want to thank you guys for coming in. This was great. Gasoline Lollipop, September 23rd at the Caribou Room. My name is Andy. Special thanks to George Figs. And I want to thank Jake because he's always helping out, and he was here when George was gone. So big props to him. We'll see y'all soon.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Santa Maria, I need your blessings. Please guide my hand and my gun. You've seen my sweet señorita and I in deep caressing. Now if I don't save my love, Mamacita, your boy is dumb. I admit she's not in the purest of professions, but she's got nothing but a body left to sell. With your help, I was planning to get her into confession. And send the dirty dog that holds her straight to hell. But shh, Santa Maria.
Everybody knows that I can't afford to buy my love, so I'm stealing his whore. Sandman, come outside, I scream, I'm hungry for your blood. Finding you guilty for the crime, I'm putting a price on love. Penalty is death, I say, come on and be dead if you can. Door swings wide, the children hide. Santa Maria, hold my hand. Na 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 na. We'll be right back. you took her to pieces like a bully for cojones. Never mind the gun that you're pointing at me, hombre. Got a lot of nerves, son, coming to serve some death warrant to the bastards gone in the desert. Never mind that now, it's too late to go back. You're gonna die for your angel and there's honor in that. I should probably let you know that there's only hope for you. You die anyway, over there's my rear. I pull my pistol quick, I let go a few loud shots. The adrenaline runs like razors, my stomach's all in knots. I'm choking on the gun smoke and I'm trying not to believe that the Sandman's let his lodge inside me. Hope there's blood running down my sleeve. Na 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 na.
Thanks again to the Gasoline Lollipops with us on the Cabaret this evening. It is 8:01. You are tuned to KGNU Boulder, Denver. Stay tuned now for Corriente.
Claro. Quiero dedicar esta canción con mucho amor y respeto. Más que una canción, es una oración de amor que quiero dedicar, como siempre, con el mismo amor, cariño y respeto, a todas las mamás que esta noche me han venido a visitar. Sobre todo para aquellas que están un poquito más lejos de mí. Tristeza y de mis ojos que lloran en silencio por tu amor. Me miro en el espejo y veo en mi rostro el tiempo que he sufrido por tu adiós. Obligo a que te olvide el pensamiento, pues siempre estoy pensando en el ayer. Prefiero estar dormido que despierto de tanto y tanto que me duele que no estés como quisiera que tú vivieras, que tus ojitos jamás se hubieran cerrado. Estar contigo para seguir amándolo. Yo he sufrido mucho por tu ausencia. Desde ese día hasta hoy no soy feliz. Y aunque tengo y muy tranquila mi conciencia, yo sé que pude y sé que pude haber yo hecho más por ti.